Well, thank the Lord. I'm glad to be here. It's been a long time. Long time since I've been to Ohio here. And we desire your prayers this morning. We've looked forward to this. I was in Holly Hill last weekend, got to be the congregation there. And then here this Sunday. So that's kind of been a real treat on this trip. Been gone since the first day of February. And have been very, very busy the whole time I've been gone. Main thing is I got to spend a little time with my daughter, which is east of here a few miles. And I appreciated getting to see her and her husband. I don't see either one of them very much. Don't even know my son-in-law real well because he's always up here and I'm always back there. I want to preach this morning on something that's been on my mind for several days. It's a subject that, how do I want to say it? Is one of the and don't get excited when I say what I'm saying. Boy, I don't know what he's going to preach on. It must be this, that, or the other. It's nothing phenomenal. You have two phenomenal preachers here, and I feel mighty small in their eyes and in yours. But this is a subject that will get you to heaven. Maybe that's the way to put it. It is the main thing that's going to get you to heaven. And it's for you and I. Let's turn to Titus, the second chapter. I've been resigned pastoralship the first Sunday night of October. And I've been doing a little evangelizing, but been going to some congregations like this here and there. And some, maybe not all of, but some of the messages seem like that I've been preaching has been, I would call them encouraging messages. Trying to encourage the church to move on. Encourage the church to press on. But this one this morning is, as one brother among us spoke of his natural brother among us, said, if you've ever heard Chuck Elwell speak very much, said he speaks on the subject of grace quite a bit. Said he sticks it in every message, I believe he said. And he preached that, Brother Steve did at Guthrie many years ago, and I think Chuck was there still alive at the time. 2:11 of the good book of Titus said, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The grace of God. We want to talk about the grace of God this morning. The one thing that is going to, or the main thing, it's not the one thing, it is the basic ingredient that's going to get us to heaven. It's the one thing that's going to help us in everyday life. No matter what the situation, the grace of God is great enough to cover it in any area that you and I might deal with, live with, make, deal with, I guess is the best way to put it. And the grace of God, he said, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. There is not a soul that's going to go out into heaven or out into eternity that is not going to have the chance to be saved and live for God. It would be unjust for a God that we know, a holy God, a righteous God, it would be unjust for him to send them to a devil's hell and never give them a chance to be able to get saved or have a chance to live for him. And the bottom line is, the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared. It is going to appear to all men. It is going to deal with, it's going to call, it's going to give a chance to know Jesus, to be able to be what they ought to be. It is going to be something that is going to help every man. The grace of God that bringeth salvation. Now then it said, teaching us. It's a teaching grace this morning. And it said, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now then, it's a teaching. It doesn't teach men to run to the world. It teaches men to run from the world. It teaches men to live above the world by the grace of God. We couldn't do what we do without the grace of God. Paul said in one place, we'll get later, he said, I am what I am by the grace of God. When we get down to the end of life, any victory we've got, all the blessings that we've had, all the glory that we've received from Jesus Christ, the bottom line is it was by the grace of God. Jesus gave it to us. Jesus blessed us. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. But it's the unmerited favor of God that God gives us something that we don't deserve. Praise God. But He wants us to get to heaven. He wants us to get there worse than we do. He has died. He paid His whole life. He gave His whole life and He paid the price that you and I may be saved and redeemed and washed and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost with all power by His grace to be able to do what we do. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that. Denying. This morning, there is power in the grace of God to help us to deny things. To help us to walk away from things. To help us to have victory over things. No matter what it is, the grace of God, there's people you've heard say, I can't live for God like you live. Or I can't live for God at all. Everybody is going to be unexcusable in the very presence of God because the grace of God will give man exactly what he has to help them to be able to live for Him. There's no way that you and I could do what He's asking us to do per se in the Word of God without His help, without His grace, without His power. There's no way we could do it. But Jesus, bless your heart, He died. He gave His life and give us everything that we need from A to Z to be able to please Him and live for Him and to be able to turn around and walk away from some things that we don't need to do. He's able to do that. There have been multitudes of people in the Bible and since the Bible was written that is literally denied, walked away from, turned their back to. When temptation, when ungodliness, when different things presented itself, Jesus Christ gave them the grace to walk away from it. And you know some, you've done it yourself. And all kind of worldly lust. And He said, live soberly, live righteously and godly. In what? In the world to come? No, in this world. Right now. We can live the life. One man made a statement. He said, I couldn't live like you do. If I did, I'd have to get out on a section of land in the middle of it to live like you live, Carl Schaefer. I thought about it a minute. I thought, well, the devil will be right out in the middle of that section of land. It's not people totally. It's the devil that hinders, that hurts, that damages and all. And no matter where you go, you cannot hide from Him. He is going to present Himself one place and one way or another. And He's going to do all He can do to hinder you and I. So consequently, He said there, He gives us the grace. He gives us the power that we might live righteously and godly and soberly in this present world right now. Thank the Lord for that. Let's go to John, St. John 1. Thank the Lord for the grace this morning. There's one thing you and I can never thank enough or praise enough is the grace of God. Jesus will never get exalted. His grace will never get exalted. Matter of fact, He wants you and I to glorify Him day in and day out. That He is one that is helping you and I. If we could lift ourselves up by our own bootstraps. If we had the power to do what we do and never need any grace that He had, we would actually be shortchanging Him. Because He's the one. He wants us to praise Him on Wednesday and Sunday. He wants us to stand up and say, Jesus done this for me, praise God. He's the one that gave me the victory. He helped me do this. He worked with me and dealt with me. He done this. He led me. He guided me. The grace of God come down and give me a special victory over this. He wants us to do that. He wants to be exalted and lifted up and glorified day in and day out because the grace of God is worthy for you and I to do that too. 1 and 14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, this is He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, and He was before me. And of His fullness have all we received in grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He had declared Him. Now he said He's full of plenty. And it's not just the thinking of full as a full bottle, so to speak, but it takes in the whole realm that He has everything no matter what we need. He's full of grace. He is full of comfort. He is full of power. He is full of glory. He is able to touch and work with any situation. You can go to a doctor, and that doctor will send you to a specialist. Jesus don't need a specialist. He is a specialist, praise God. He's a specialist, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And He's able to do with us no matter what we need, no matter how deep it gets, no matter how broad it might be, no matter how little it is, He's able to take the grace and work with that. Oh, this morning, full of. What do you need this morning? Are you struggling with something? Has something happened that you need some help with? The grace of God is able to work with that. He's never at a shortage of what to say. He's never at a shortage when it comes to comfort. He never was married, but He's able to comfort like nobody else can. He never had a child. He never did anything as far as that. But the Bible said He's the God of all comfort. He is able to get in there and touch you and bless you and do things that nobody else can do. People are a big help, and I'm encouraging them to be a comforter. I'm encouraging them to reach out and be a safe person. But the bottom line is, the one that can heal and the one that can bless and the one that can do more than anyone else is Jesus Christ in His grace. God of all comfort. He can get in there. You know, sometimes they say, well, you maybe seek a lawyer's help for something. Or, like I say, some people go to a doctor and seek their help. And they run all these tests and they take all this time and they do all these things. And then they get down to it and they're studying it all out and, oh, it's this and this and this. And they present the worst side more sometimes than they do the good side. But the bottom line is, Jesus knew about it before it ever happened. And He knows how to work with it when we need Him to work with it. All we've got to do is come to Him and say, Lord, I need Your help. I want You. I need You. I beg You, Lord, to touch me. I beg You to heal me. Whatever might be the need. And He's able to get right down in that. And if we need to deal with something, He's able to make it so easy that anybody can get a hold of it. It's not a His wisdom, His power, His explanations confound people because it's so easy to get a hold of. Even a person with no education, even a person from places that don't have no schooling or whatever, the Lord has always been able to work with them because He has a way about Him that He can get out on any level. One minister that some of us worked with and knew, old Brother Herschel Hargraves, a lot of his family, I guess he himself come from this area up here. And one minister said after Brother Herschel died, speaking to Sister Mary Hargraves, said he was one that could get up and preach to the president, or he could get down to the lowest spot and preach to anybody else. He had that type of gift. Well, Jesus is even better than that, because He's the one that gave Brother Herschel the gift he had to start with. So consequently, Jesus can get down there and help us. It's all we got to do is ask. Now He said, and of His fullness have all we received. Have we received all that He has for us this morning? There is people that go along and don't get all the what I call the full plan or salvation and sanctification. They just kind of ride along on sanctification when there's more there. There's much more there that He wants to give us. He wants to help us with. He wants us to be full of the Holy Ghost. He wants us to have that power and that authority. And without that, you and I cannot be what we need to be without that. And there's a lot of people have never received that. And He said there, and grace for grace. If you follow the scriptures I have this morning, And the way it presents, the way the Bible presents it, not just me, but the way the Bible presents it this morning, it shows us that there's not anything that He's not able to work with. He said, and grace for grace. The law was given by Moses. The law back there was a great thing, per se. And it led to, by the different things set up, it pointed us to the gospel dispensation. It did that. But the bottom line is that He brought the law, but Christ brought grace and truth. He brought the truth, and He brought the grace to live the truth. So this morning, you and I can live by the grace of God. We're able to do that this morning. Let's go to Romans, the 5th chapter. 1 and 2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Now, Brother Martin Sammons took this scripture different times and used it for sanctification, that we stand in need of the Holy Ghost. And I'm not going to argue with that. I love that angle of it. But this morning, you and I stand in need of the grace of God every moment. We've got to have Him. We live in the most wicked world I think that's ever been. Back there, years ago, it was bad. But now it's so much worse because there's so many more people. It's getting where you hear shootings almost constantly. Somebody goes into a business or whatever and kills, or into a college or into a school, and they shoot down a number of people. It's happening almost daily now. It is a very wicked, it's a very dangerous, it's a very terrible world that we live in. So you and I stand in need of the grace of God every moment. His protection, His help. There was a girl killed in the Columbine shootings in Colorado several years ago. And the man pointed the gun at her and said something to the extent that, are you going to live for God? Are you going to testify for the Lord, or something like that? I can't remember. And she stood there and looked him straight in the face and said, I will keep my faith in God. I will live by my faith in God. And he killed her dead right there. That took grace. You and I, there's multitudes of people that have met that were burned at the stake, or met a firing squad. They were standing in need of that grace constantly. They were standing in need of that. There was a boy. It's on a CD that I have, and it's a true story about President Abraham Lincoln and a young man that was out of the hills of Kentucky or West Virginia or somewhere, and he had joined the army back there in the Civil War, and he was going and he fell asleep at his post. Now, that's a death sentence if that happens. Well, he was a good young man, and his friends and his family went to bat for him. And it went all the way to the top. And they were saying, please, somebody somehow help this young man. He don't deserve to die. He doesn't deserve. They were tears and letters and pain and suffering. And so the president himself went to see him. And so he shows up and they take him back. He said, I want to see him. I don't remember what the boy's name was. He said, I want to see him. And he said, okay. So they took President Lincoln back there. And he went in the cell. Now, it's dark. Not like the prisons we have today with lots of natural light or electric lights and so forth. They had lanterns and candles, I guess, and stuff like that. And so this boy, Abraham Lincoln, talked to him for quite a while. The boy did not even recognize the President of the United States. One thing, he couldn't see him, but he didn't realize who he was talking to. And President Lincoln asked him, are you scared? Yes. He was facing the firing squad. They were going to take him out in a little bit. And so finally, the light began to shine through the window of that jail cell. And President Lincoln stepped over into the light where that young man could see him. And he said, now do you know who you're talking to? Yes. This is the President. He has come. The President come to be his Savior, so to speak, as far as saving his life. And he did. He done that. And that young man told the President, He said, I can face anything if you go with me. Listen, folks, we can face anything with Jesus. Praise God. There's people that said, I can't do it. We meet people at the altar. I can't do it. I can't live this way. I've got an unsaved companion. I've got this. I've got that. Listen, folks, today Jesus said, I am. I am the tree of life. I am the grace, the truth, and the life. The way, the truth, and the life. And he says here, he said, we stand in need of the grace of God. We stand in need of it all the time. But the bottom line is, it is there available for you and I. All right, let's get to Ephesians 2. And then I'm going to get down to one of my favorite scriptures. The grace of God. The grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Ephesians 2, 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. And then in parentheses it said, by grace ye are saved. Has raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might shew the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now then, it said, but God, who is rich in mercy. But God. Now then, this is dealing with the Father and the Son here. God is letting it be known. It said there that the fifth verse, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. He's making the distinction here of what Christ can do. By grace, you're saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now that could be the other side, but I believe there's some heavenly places right here. You and I can have heavenly places. What are we doing this morning? We're sitting in heavenly places, in camp meetings, revival meetings, and so forth. The Lord, it comes down and blesses and works. One man said one time that he had been to 50 other congregations in a town. He said, this is the only one that has the anointing and power right here. The Church of God congregation in that town. 50 congregation. Listen, folks, we ought to be very thankful for what we've got. We've got something that nobody else has got. We've not only got the truth, but we've got a Christ that helps us to sit in heavenly places and blesses our soul and gives power and anointing and glory and liberty and freedom to do things that nobody else has got. Praise God. Sit in heavenly places this morning. Oh, thank the Lord. You and I could go back through the years of the great blessings. I'm thinking of God three one time, many years, well, even that many years back, they were in the new chapel. And we had, I guess you'd call it, out of order service. And the Lord just come down. And His presence was so rich that I got to watch in the crowd, and it was a pretty good sized crowd. It was a night service, and nobody was even leaving the service. You know, a lot of times the things keep going on and on. And if I remember right, this started after the message. Now, I'm not saying the message and the service wasn't on itself, but I believe now I may be wrong about that. Maybe it was, we didn't even have no preaching. But the bottom line was the presence of God was there. Oh, let us so remember, let us so be blessed, let us so be thankful for the fact that the Lord is here. He's here. He blesses. He works. And made us set together, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us. Oh, thank you, Lord, through Christ Jesus. Now then, show the exceeding riches of His grace. How rich is that? The old Commodore Vanderbilt was one of the richest men in the world. He had made it in railroads and shipping in midships. He got to a place that he had several children. He picked out an heir that was the way Commodore Vanderbilt felt about it. He was going to take and give the bulk of everything to one son and not divide it up a whole bunch between all of them. He was going to give the control. Then he would give some to all the rest of the children. So he done that. And the one that got the control, well, he had one son that he's going to give it to, and he died suddenly and left the Commodore in just distraught. But he finally got his wits about him, and he gave it to another son. His name was William. William took the Vanderbilt's, or the Commodore's, money. He said Dad had attained to wealth at that time in the late 1800s, like 1880, 1890, of $100 million. And he was sitting at breakfast one morning and he told somebody who was we, he said, I have taken it and in 6 years it's worth $600 million. Now today when they talk about all the billionaires like the Gates and this one and that one, that don't seem a lot of money. But back then it was a lot of money. William had a daughter. His wife decided that she didn't want this little daughter of hers just marrying anybody. He had to be of no noble ancestry. He had to be of this and that. And she set out looking. Of course, they traveled a lot and went around the world. And she found a young man that she thought would be the one for her daughter. And she worked to matchmake this thing and get it going. And it went. Well, this family, that was his family, that was over this kingdom, or whatever you want to call it, they had fallen on hard times. And they had started a humongous, I'm going to call it a castle, or a big mansion, and they had fallen on hard times and couldn't finish it. So the daughter, which was William's daughter, went to Daddy, and he told her, he said, here's my checkbook. He said, you finish that house. Now he had $600 million. Which in that time was a lot of money. And she did. She just started writing checks. Do this, do that. She brought the people in. And they started finishing up that mansion. He trusted his daughter, for one thing. But the bottom line is, he trusted her enough to give her access to millions of dollars. Jesus has given you a checkbook of grace today, saying, I have the fullness, the riches, everything that you need. You can never exhaust it. No matter how much. Listen, think about it, folks. There's just a handful of us here, so to speak. But there's actually probably, I don't have any idea how many people actually live for God. But you can never, all the time from Jesus to now, all the people that has lived for Him all these years has never been able to even begin to exhaust the riches of His grace. He's so rich. He's got so much. There is no way that you and I, sometimes we think, well, this or that. Listen, folks, today there's no way we can even begin to touch it. And we can write it out, check for it every day. I need grace for this and grace for this. Oh, my husband come home and he was not in a good mood today and I've got to have grace for that. My children, they just acting up and they're not doing good. Oh, Lord, I need grace for this. Oh, and this person in the congregation, they snapped at me the other day or spoke a little harsh to me and I need grace for that. Listen, folks, we're not even going to scratch the surface even to begin with because of the riches of His grace. In His kindness toward us. Don't you love to meet a kind person? Would you say Jesus is kind? God is kind. In His dealings, in His workings, He is so kind, so gentle with us. Oh, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. All right, let's go to 4 and 13 of the good book of Hebrews. He says that let's go 4 and 12. 4 and 12 of Hebrews. The Word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder. Lord, help me to read. Asunder of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. that is passed into the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in every time of need. Oh, today, praise God. He said, seeing then that we have a great high priest, not just a high priest, but the great high priest, that is passed into the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast. We can hold fast our profession because of Him. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings. In other words, no matter what touches us, no matter how much pain we're in, it touches Christ. It touches Him. What happens when a child gets hurt? Mama feels it. Daddy feels it. What do? They move quickly to help that child. That's their child. That's their baby, so to speak. No matter if there's several other children in the family, the bottom line is Junior's hurting or Susie's hurting, and I'm moving in to help them. They take them in the lap. They hold them. They kiss the pain away, so to speak. They comfort them. They work with them. Listen, folks, today, Jesus does the very same thing with you and I. We're His child. We're His children, and He's touched. When you and I have a pain, He has a pain. When you and I are grieved, He's grieved. He's there. It boggles my mind, is a better word to put it. It boggles my mind how this all works. Anybody can figure it out? Brother Larry and Brother Clint, pretty smart men. And I admire them greatly, but I don't think they even got the mentality to quite figure that one out. You can't figure it out. But praise God, I know it works. That's the main thing, it works. And you and I can watch it. And we can watch other people. It works, and it works well, praise God. He's touched over and over. And He was tempted, but was at all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He's gone through things that help Him to understand. He didn't just live a life of no thorns on the rose bush, so to speak. He didn't just go along life's way. He had a lot of things that happened to Him over and over. The way He was treated, the way He was rejected, the way He was killed. It was all in the fact of doing that so He could help you and I. His pain, His anguish was right there. But it said, because of that, let us therefore. We have an opening. We have a scripture right here that says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of what?
Grace.
This is not just any throne. This is the throne of grace, of mercy, of power, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now the other angle of grace, or one of the angles of grace, is its help. It helps you and I, praise God. It helps you to live for Him. It helps you when we have need. So consequently, we can come to Him anytime, day or night. I call Him the 3 a.m. God. But there have been many times He's helped me anywhere from midnight and 5 in the morning. And He comes and He helps and He blesses. It doesn't matter when it is. It doesn't matter how serious the situation is. Listen, there are a lot of times people don't want to bother ministers. I don't want to call them at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And I can understand that. I don't like to do it neither. But I tell you, I'll call on Him, praise God. I've had Him ask me. He said, have you prayed about it? Have you talked to me? Have you asked me? No. Fall on my knees and have the answer surely. And everything's well, praise God, because of the grace. He said, let us therefore come boldly. In other words, we have an invitation personally from Christ to come to this throne. And we can present our needs to Him no matter what it is, day or night. And we can have what we need because of the power, the riches of His grace, praise God. Oh, this morning, thank the Lord. Are you coming to Him? Has He ever told you that? Has He ever told you, have you talked to me about it? Have you asked me? I had a breakdown in 06, starting in May, the very end of May of 06. And in June, we went to the Tulsa camp meeting. Now, I have a leg problem. I still have this leg problem. It still bugs me. But I've learned some about it and kind of how to work with it. But anyway, this particular time, I still wasn't sure all about it. So I knew bananas helped me. It's a potassium problem, however that all works, I don't know. But it's a potassium problem. And so I got up and didn't want to bother my sweetheart. And I was in a motel and eased into a place there. I think this kind of had a kitchenette with it. And eased in there and got in the bag or the box and got the bananas out and began to eat. I ate one banana, it didn't do no good. I ate two bananas, I believe I had two, on only two, it didn't do no good. I looked the situation over and I panicked. I thought, what am I going to do? This is like 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. I said, what am I going to do? And the Lord spoke so plain to me. He said, have you asked me? Have you prayed to me about it? I said, no. I went back to bed, fell on my knees and began to pray. Give me an instant touch. I got in bed and went right to sleep. Praise God. It's Jesus in His grace, praise God. It doesn't matter. He wants testimonies, and He does testimonies by allowing you and I to go through hard trials. Listen, great grace comes by hard trials. Somebody says, I don't see the great healings, or I don't see this, or don't see that. Listen, the way you're going to see them is for people to be willing to go through them and bring out the power of the grace of God. And if you and I don't do it, you won't see it. Great grace comes by great trials and great difficulties and great hard places. And it makes it, as Paul said, I'm going to get to that. But he talks about his weakness, doesn't it? I glory in my weakness to bring out the strength of Jesus Christ and His power. Listen, great grace comes by great trials. Let us therefore come boldly. Oh, let us go to Jesus for our needs. It's open. He's asking. He wants us to. He wants us to come. He gives more examples. He said over there, the widow and the unjust judge, that's one place. And the man that had the friend come to him for the loaves. Give me some bread. I've had company come. That's all that is importunity telling us He wants us to come to Him. He said, ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Listen, we may not get it on the very first prayer. I'm not saying every time I've asked for something I've got it just like that, because I hadn't. I've had to pray it through many times, and it's taken a while sometimes. But the bottom line is, Jesus has given it to me, and He's gotten glory from it because of what He's done. Oh, the Lord. He loves you and I this morning. All right, 2 Corinthians 12:6. And this is right where I was wanting to be, isn't it? No, I'm in the wrong. Carl, if you get in the right book, it always reads right, buddy. Yeah, I'm in the right place. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And least I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that was given to me. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And He said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecutions, and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Now, this was Paul. This wasn't just anybody, so to speak. This was a minister of the gospel. A powerful minister of the gospel. But even he himself was having problems. Now, some people want to credit this to bodily afflictions. To me, the answer is given in the 7th verse. He said, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. Lest I should be exalted above measure. To me, there was a false prophet, a false person, used of the devil to hurt him, to stab him, so to speak. I'm not meaning literally by any means, but just to hurt him and to wound him and to cause him grief and pain and suffering. That's what he was given. And he said here, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice. He didn't get it just the first time. Now, there are many times that the Lord will answer you and I immediately and help us right now.
But in this particular case, he had to pray a little bit. And then he said, and he said unto me, the Lord said to Paul directly, my grace is sufficient for thee. We need to take and write it down and put it on the refrigerator, on the mirror in the bathroom, and we need to let it be known when we're in hard trial, my grace is sufficient. My grace, Christ's grace, is sufficient for thee. Go back into the things that you and I have dealt with down through the year. Was it not sufficient then? He said, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He has the same amount of power of grace now as He had back then, and He will have it all the way to eternity when you and I step out and meet Him. My grace is sufficient. My grace. He didn't say a preacher's grace or mama or grandma or grandpa or granddad or whatever. It said, my grace is sufficient for thee. One man said one time that he followed a certain preacher around. If the minister moved over here, he would follow him. If he moved over here, he would follow him. He just followed him wherever he went. And he said one day it come to him, he thought, I guess he was having some battles and problems, and he looked at it, he thought, well, you know I'm following this man around, but the bottom line is he don't have any grace for me. The Lord's got it. He's not going to allow you and I. We can do things that can help people. We can do things to bless people. But the bottom line, he said, this is reserved for Him. My grace is sufficient. What do we need? What is our battle this morning? What is our struggles? The Lord wants to help us this morning. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Listen, the stronger you and I are per se in different areas. Have you ever had something that you worked with and dealt with for quite a while and you finally just said, Lord, I can't do it without You. I've got to have Your grace. I'm going to give a testimony of the time that I struggle with forgiveness. Some of you have heard this. Brother Larry, I know he's heard it. I've preached it a different time. But the bottom line is, I'd had a number of people do me wrong. And I'd prayed and felt like I'd forgiven them, and I went on just to find out that I really hadn't forgiven them. And this went on for a period of time. Finally, I said, Lord, it's very apparent now, I can't do this by myself. I've got to have the grace of forgiveness. I've got to have Your help. You've got the key. You've got the way. Lord, have mercy and help me. I was going to Webb City on a Sunday. Rebecca and the girls stayed home. I don't know why now. That's been a number of years ago. But the Lord, I stopped at the Will Rogers midway point and went in and come back out. And I got in the van and I started off. The Lord sat down in the van with me. And He said, what happens when a person dies? I told the Lord over and over, I said, you've got the key. I can't do this. You've got the key. You can make this thing where I can get a hold of it. I can do it. And You can give me the power, the grace to do that. And He said, what do you do when a person dies? I said, you put them in a casket. He said, what do you do then? I said, well, you put the lid down on it. He said, what do you do then? I said, you bury them. He said, then what do you do? I said, you graze the stone. He said, you need to do that with every person. You need to die out. So, I started in praying. I was going down the interstate, driving with this hand, and I was using this to nail the coffin shut, and people drive by, they thought I'd plumb nuts, and looking at me, and I was making hand movements, and all of this, and I was calling by name, I was putting them in a casket, I nailed it shut, that one's done, I buried them, I raised a gravestone, I went the next one, and when I got all the number of them, and I said it was several, it was quite a few, when I got through, I had the victory, and I still got it, praise God, by the grace of God, it wasn't me, it was Jesus and His grace and His power that endeared it. He said, I told Him He had the key, and when He moved with that key, it was so simple. You know, He's so simple. He can make it where you and I can understand. He doesn't want us to get so powerful in ourselves that we don't need Him. He wants us to need Him every day. He wants us to pull from Him every day, praise God. Oh, wife, loves to have that rock, so to speak, in a husband that she can lean on and she can pull from, so to speak. That's the husband's position, to be that strong one. She needs that. But I'm going to tell you, the bride of Christ needs Christ in the same way. He is the companion. He is the husband of the church. Let's go to James 4 and 6. My grace is sufficient, he said. But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Oh, thank the Lord. He giveth more grace. And more, and more, and more, and more. He said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. Now he said, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Oh, Lord, help us. When we come to this throne, we have to come humbly. We don't want to come up there and say, Lord, I've got all this in my mind. I'm so smart. I'm so intelligent. I've got all this. I've been living for God all these years and so forth. That ain't going to get us nowhere. We just need to come up there and put ourselves down, if we have to, prostrate on the floor, so to speak, and say, God, have mercy on me, your child. Come humble. Present your needs humbly. Lord, I can't do it. I've got to have you. Listen, folks, what makes a good prayer meeting on Wednesday night is the bottom line is we stand up and say, God done, or Christ done this for us. You can set a whole, you can set a camp meeting on fire as far as that goes. And that's what that meeting was I was talking about a little bit ago. The bottom line was, it was telling what the Lord was doing. And the very power of Jesus come down, it was so rich, that presence was so glorious. And the bottom line, but He giveth grace unto the humble. No matter how smart we are, who we are, what lineage we are, the bottom line is we've got to come humble to get this grace. Come up there and just present ourselves. Brother Salmon said, had that old tread sewing machine, said he just stuck his head up underneath it. Praise God. Said he couldn't get low enough, couldn't get humble enough. Oh, we need to be that way every time that we need these things. Present it so humbly, Lord, have mercy on me. We can beg, we can plead. We can say, Lord, I need you, I've got to have you, I can't do this. I can't do it. We can struggle with it and struggle with it, but the bottom line is the Lord wants to give it to us. He wants to give it to us. Acts 4 and 33, over there, if I remember right, Paul brought up the point there, or somebody, maybe not Paul, but he was bringing up the point that great grace was upon them all. Great grace was upon them all. He said here, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Now then, the great grace is still available to us today. It can be upon all of us now. It's not something that's out in the future only, but it's right here. The 11th chapter of Romans, let's go there, 11 and 1. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite, of the seed of Abraham, the tribe of Benjamin. God had not cast away his people, which he foreknew, what won't, now I ain't pronounced that word. What ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. But what saith the answer of God unto me? I have reserved unto myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. And if by grace, then is it no more of works? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace? Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not attained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God had given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see and ears that they should not hear unto this day. Now, this is dealing with the Jews and Gentiles. And the bottom line is, even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Praise God. You and I are here because of that remnant of grace, that election of grace. We're the remnant. And the Jews turned it down. They went against it. They didn't want to have anything to do with it. They rejected Christ. But because of that, Paul said, the Lord has sent me unto the Gentiles. He sent me there. He sent me there. So consequently, I am going to go and present the grace of God to them and present it to them. And they're the ones that accepted it. And you and I are part of that body today. We're that remnant. Way down years later, we've accepted it. We are what we are because of that. And if it was the works of the law, whatever, we wouldn't need grace. We would not need it. But because we accepted it as it was, it is what we need and we have. And that's what's been a blessing to you and I down through the years. 5:20 of Romans. He said here, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I'm thankful today that as sin hath reigned in death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And it says up here, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But he said here, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Paul said in one place, didn't he? He said, I'm the chief of sinners. I am chief. Might not say it just quite like that, but that's what he's getting at. I am the chief. Listen, folks, some people say, well, I've lived a bad life. The Lord won't save me. One man said to a minister one time, he said, does he forgive murderers? Sure he does. He forgives anybody and everybody. That grace is able to wash and cleanse and to liberate and give power and authority and do what we need Him to do, thank the Lord. Oh, today, where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. Much more, praise God. All right, let's go to Hebrews 13:9. Hebrews 13:9. Be not carried away with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. 2 Peter 3:18, close by here. He said, but grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. And then in 2 Timothy 2:1, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, he says here, says back in Hebrews here, he said, let the heart be established. And that's the way he said it, 13:9. The heart be established. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. Now then, if there was ever many strange doctrines to at any time, today would be the time. They've got more doctrines and ideas and things out there that's strange, odd. And there are many of them. For it is good that the heart be established with grace. Why? Because there's many things out there that can try to affect us. And the devil's going to try to do it. He doesn't matter who you are, whether you're male or female, whether you're young, you're old, or whatever. He's always going to try to come along and trip us. He's always going to try to come along and hinder us. So consequently, it says that, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, with the doctrine, the pure, unadulterated doctrine of God. That He gives us, teaches us, opens up to us, and settles us in. He said there that, well, let's see, where's that at? It's in Peter here, where he talks about, must be 1 Peter. But the God of all grace, who hath called us into His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So He wants that heart established with grace. Are we established with grace today? Could we say that? Could we say that the Lord has done it? Sometimes there had been people among us that couldn't even read. And the Lord taught them the Word of God. Taught them to read and taught them. Even made preachers out of them. And powerful preachers on top of that. But the Lord took them and worked with them and taught them the doctrine. Taught them by the grace of God everything that they needed to know. And He established them and He settled them and He perfected them. And He gave them exactly the things that was a blessing to each one. Let's go to Galatians the second. No, I want Colossians the fourth chapter. Colossians 4 and 6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Now Luke 4 and 22, it talks about the Lord. And it brings out the point, it said the gracious words that proceeded out of His mouth or from Him. And then in Ecclesiastes 10 and 12, Ecclesiastes 10 and 12, it brings up another point. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious, but the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is mischievous madness. Now I said the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. Christ had gracious, powerful words. There were times that He had to rebuke people, but He done it with such an authority, but with such love that they could receive it, so to speak. All right, you and I today, He said, let the words of your mouth be seasoned with grace. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. There's going to be times in our life, well really every day in a sense, that we need our speech always, let your speech be always with grace. We need that. There is going to be times that husbands and wives, things are not going to go just perfect, and there may be a little sharpness. Has anybody ever had to apologize to the wife or to the husband? My daughter and I was talking about Rebecca Ann coming down. And I said, yeah, I said I had to pull it out of her, so to speak. And work with it. And there's times she said, you spoke sharp to me. I didn't think I was sharp. Have you ever spoken and didn't think you were sharp? The wife told you or the person maybe let you know that you spoke sharp to them? Listen, folks, it's not how we think it is particularly, but it's how a person perceives something. In other words, if they think we spoke sharp to them and was not as kind and gentle as we should be, we need to apologize. We need to let them know, I am sorry. I should not have said that way or whatever. And it happens. Well, I made a statement about a husband and wife one time. He had died, and I made a statement about them to his wife. And I said, "You all had a good marriage." She said, "No, we had a wonderful marriage." And then later on, but she let it be known, said, "It wasn't perfect, Carl, but it was wonderful." Listen, we can have the grace of God with one another, husbands and wives, and children and mothers and fathers. Have you ever had to ask forgiveness of your children? Because maybe you didn't judge something right. The former, or the old pastor, Brother O'Neill Pratt, Holly Hills, South Carolina. I've heard a lot about that man. And I've only heard one negative thing in the time, all the time I've been associated with that congregation since 1978. And you know what that was? They felt like he didn't properly right judge a child and properly discipline that particular child. They kind of criticized that a little bit. He had 12 children, folks. So he wasn't a newcomer. It wasn't like he had one child or two, but he had 12. But that's the only negative thing. I thought that was pretty good. You know, after a man's dead and gone, and they can say that's the only thing fine wrong with. Listen, folks, if that's the only thing, I don't even know if I mention it or not. It seems like it's insignificant. But the bottom line is, Lord, help us that we season our talk with grace. That it's seasoned with salt, that people can get help, get blessings, get encouragement, get strength, get things that they need from it. Because the Lord is working with you and I. All right, let's wrap it up. So let's go to 2 Corinthians 12 and... No, 2 Corinthians 1 and 12. 2 Corinthians 1 and 12. We'll be through here in a few minutes. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world and more abundantly to youward. Now then, but the grace of God, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we had our conversation, our conduct in the world. There is so many people that live such, that claim to be Christians and live such horrible lives. A man lost his wife of 3 years. And he made the statement that he lost her, and he claimed, I guess he claims to be a Christian. Anyway, he made the statement that he lost her, and it was after 16 years of battling cancer, and she died, and he said, I went off the deep end, and he said, I got in trouble. I guess he even ended up in jail over it. And he was doing things that he shouldn't do. That's not the grace of God. You and I can do better than that. You and I can lose somebody dear to us, and I can testify the grace of God is able to keep you and help you and work with you every day of that time that you're grieving. It can be done. And our conduct can be of such. I know we're going to make mistakes. I know we're not perfect, so to speak. And some of us stick our foot in our mouths way too many times. But the bottom line is the grace of God is able to help us to have a conduct in the world among our peers and our family that can challenge them and stir them that they can see something better than what's out there in Babylon. And can help them to be able to say, hey, this person really is living a life that is good. That is lifting up Christ. All right, 1 Corinthians 15 and 10. For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. To me, Paul was real humble real right here. I'm not even meet to be called an apostle. But then he said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace was bestowed upon me was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. Saints, when we get down to the end of life, our testimony will be, I am what I am. My whole life has been because of the grace of God. We have no boasting points. I need Him every second of every day. Ephesians 4 and 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Now then, there is people that says, I can't preach, I can't teach, I can't do this, I can't do that. Yes, you can. You can do anything the Lord calls you to do because it's by grace. He gives grace. We can go and do missionary work. We can go and we can get out of our comfort zones and do what the Lord wants us to do. He says, go down and hand out tracts on a street corner or go and preach. Brother Murphy Allen, if I remember right, was the Lord was dealing with him to go preach on a street corner. He was holding a revival somewhere and go preach on a street corner. This has been years ago when I wasn't near as hard on people as they are today, so to speak. And so he just kind of he didn't know, I can't do it. I need help. So he prayed about it. The Lord kept dealing with him and dealing with it. And He gave him grace and he went down and delivered the message that the Lord wanted him to deliver. He gives us a gift. He gives us a calling. And with that gift, with that calling, with whatever we're doing for God, the work we're doing is by the grace of God. And the grace that needs to be to help us with that calling is there. No matter what it is, day or night, 365 days a year, that grace is there. And so Paul said, I am what I am. We're going to say that on our deathbed. Whatever we are, whatever we've done, there is people that have natural gifts, very talented, very intellectual. There's people that can preach and preach and preach and never have a calling to preach because of a natural gift. But God can take the natural gift and with the grace and with the anointing, He can really make a gift out of it, really bless that person, use that person in the work of God. But the bottom line is, no matter how gifted or whatever we are, when we get down to the end, we're going to come to reconciliation, so to speak, or whatever you want to say it. That the bottom line is, hey, it was the Lord. In Acts, the 13th chapter, in the 43rd verse, will be one more scripture after this, we'll be done. Acts 13 and 43. Now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who speaking to them persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. I'm here today to encourage you to continue on. To do what you're doing. To live the life you're living. To continue on. Don't quit. Don't back up. Don't go down. Just hold steady. Brother Salmon say, be steady as you go. Just hold steady. He said there, he told them, he said, he persuaded them, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in. This was all new. It was all different. They never had this before, so to speak. So he's there telling them, hey, go on. Do what you're doing. Live for God. Be saved. Keep doing what you're doing. The grace of God is going to help you. 2 Corinthians 13 and 14, in closing, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. The Lord has what we need this morning. He has abundance of grace for you and I. Ask for it. Ask for it this morning and we can have all that we need. I appreciate your time, your attention, and your prayers this morning. Pray for me.